Philippians chapter 3 this morning is where we'll take our text from today. And through this chapter here, the word seasons comes to mind. Jennifer just whispered to me from the piano, said, why don't you bring in a palm branch or palm tree? Because they stay the same color year-round. You know why they stay the same color year-round? Because they don't have snow where palm trees grow. They don't have fall, spring, summer, winter. They have spring and summer, and that's it. And that's the kind of guy I am. I like that. But at the same time, we know that there's all these important seasons in life. We have seasons of life. Emotionally, physically, you know, we have so many of that represented in the church today. Some of your grandparents, that's an amazing season. Some of you are parents, new parents. Some of you are just teenagers. Some of you just got your driver's license, and we have all these different seasons. Some of you are in school right now, and you're in elementary school, and you think, I can't believe it's going to be forever until I graduate from high school, right? And yet, trust me, it comes just like that. And then you're paying bills the rest of your life. Somebody say amen right there. But today you have the main seasons we talk about all the time. We have spring, summer, fall, winter, and football season. And thank God baseball season's almost over. Sorry, baseball fans. But anyway, but we talk about these different seasons, And I had the privilege of coaching a football camp several weeks back. And I decided to take a little theme and challenge the guys. We were dividing the camp into four different teams. And one of my dear friends who used to play college football, Otis Duhart, he coached the red team, and Brother Luke Bishop coached the green team, and my brother Nick was there, and he coached the white team this year, and I coached the black team, and so our team had black jerseys, and we have this little thing. The first day we got together, and I began to coach, and we'd meet, we'd draft the team Monday night, and Tuesday we have our first practice, we have a first game Tuesday, a game Wednesday, a game Thursday, and then Friday in the morning we have playoffs, and then Friday afternoon is the Super Bowl, and Friday afternoon our varsity team won the Super Bowl. For the second year in a row, I beat my baby brother at football coaching. And it's always best when the firstborn beats the secondborn. Can I get an amen, Captain? Amen. Brother Brad agrees with that, so. But the fact is, I asked these guys, I was standing there under a tree and the leaves were starting to fall. We're in October. And I picked up a leaf. I picked up a leaf. Just like this. And I said, our motto for the week is simply this. Leaf. Leaf it on the field. Leaf. For those of you that don't understand what I'm meaning, I meant leave. Leave it on the field. Of course, we call leaves, plurals, L-E-A-V-S. You just got it, Jason Miller? You're probably like, man, what's wrong with my preacher? Doesn't he know grammar? Remember, I'm using two languages today, so don't mind me. I'm using sign language and English, ASL and English, so I may be confused. But that time, J. Mill was confused, amen. But that was the thing. You didn't know what I meant, though. Now you understand. But now you understand. Now you can see clearly, amen. But anyway, so we have this. I picked up a leaf, and I told these young men, I said, right now your season is to be in this boys' home and get help. I said, right now is your season to make sure you get help from God so that you can become a successful, productive citizen, a good son again to your parents, and restore the relationships that have been broken because of whatever it is the reason you're here. It's a Christian boys' home south here in Missouri. And so they adopted that theme, and every time we go onto the field, I got to coach Grant and Wesley. Wesley, where you at? Wesley? Where you at, Wesley? Oh, he's downstairs helping the junior church. Wesley and Grant right here, they were on my JV team. Our JV team did good. We lost in the Super Bowl, but our varsity team won. And what was our motto? I wish Wesley was here. Grant was our motto before and after games. What was it? Say it loud. That wasn't it. Say the whole thing. Leaf it on the field, go black. That was our motto. And then we get in the huddle. You know how it is. The guys like to do that. And leaf it on the field, go black. And then they go to the field and we play this game. Friday, we won the Super Bowl. And I promised the boys that I would jump into the pond if I won, and so I did. And the pond was very dirty. It was much like the Missouri River. Somebody say amen right there. And then I bought them all Sonic drinks. We had a great time. Now, I'm going to get back to that story in a little while. And at the very end, we changed our model, and I'll give you that to you for just a second, because here's the deal. Paul says in this chapter, Paul had a transformation. And 9 days ago, as I explained to you last Sunday, 9 days ago, I had breakfast with a Romanian man who had just moved from Romania several years back, and he had a testimony to share with Americans. He said, Christians in America need a total transformation. A total transformation. A lot of people get saved, but they don't experience total transformation. You know, total transformation changes everything about you. It means the way you view life is going to be different after you meet Jesus Christ. And the man who writes this book that we're reading right now, Paul, he had a perspective on the Christian life that was so different than the time his perspective changed after his meeting with Jesus Christ. You see, before Paul met Jesus, his name was Saul, and he wanted to destroy Christianity. But, boy, what a beautiful three-letter word there. But he met Jesus Christ and had total transformation. And Paul took all that passion and that drive and that energy that he wanted to destroy Christianity, he transferred over to Christianity, and he wanted to spend the rest of his life telling everybody about this person he met named Jesus Christ. Now, I understand we live in a complex society today, and people in America aren't as willing to accept Jesus Christ like they used to. But the fact is, we as Christians still have a duty and obligation to show this dark world that Jesus is the light. And though we as Christians dump so much of our energies and resources in things that are not eternal and not enough on that which is eternal. Next week, I'll read you some stats. I'm preaching on voting next week. It's not what you think about, but I'm preaching on voting next Sunday since it's the Sunday before the election. And by the way, Christians should vote. The military fights and dies and sheds their blood to give us the right to vote. So vote. Vote for your state level. Vote federal. Vote local. Vote, vote, vote. I can't emphasize that enough. But I read recently that Christians make up 1/3 of the population of this planet. Watch this now. But Christians' income is 50% of this planet. Meaning even though we're only 1/3 of the population, we have 50% of the monies of this world. But watch this now. Don't miss this stat. But recent studies show that Christians spend 98% of that worldwide 50% income on themselves. 98%. I got a problem with the math there. Actually, God does. Because even the Old Testament is 98% what we're supposed to give to ourselves. Now, we got problems. Why? Because of what Paul says in the previous verses. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is grievous, but for you to say, beware of dogs, evil workers, beware of the concision." Watch this, verse 3. "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Paul says we should take our confidence in our own flesh and transfer it to God. He said, don't have the confidence in your flesh, have the confidence in God. And Paul is talking about that. Paul had the right to preach and teach on this because this is a man who's going to spend much of his time in jail. He's going to spend a lot of his time in persecution. Why? Not because he robbed somebody, not because he killed somebody, but because he preached to people about a person who died on the cross and loved them. That's all he did. That's all he was guilty of. But Paul was a man who said, I will leave it on the field. Let me give you 4 quick words to start with letter P and I'll be done. Number 1, we have a problem today. We have a problem. Here's the problem today, church. I already established it in verses 1 through 3, but in verse number 4, 5, and 6, Paul begins to talk about his pedigree. Paul talks about his background. In other words, he talks about his, if you want to take it to American modern day vernacular, you say, hey, it's my degree, it's my college education, it's what I've done in my life, it's the buildings I've built, all these things I've done for myself. Paul says that. And Paul goes on and makes a statement that sounds offensive. He says, all those things are but dung. Does anybody want to give us a nice translation of the word dung for those that don't know what it means? Be careful now, Jason, you know what that means, right? Go ahead. What do you use with your little, all these little kids? What do you say for the word dung? Dung, that's a good one too. Dung is an old English word for, poop. That's what the Bible says. That you ask these kids, do you need to go poop? All right, but anyway, you said, man, preacher, you just said poop in the pulpit. Yes, I did, but Paul said it in the Bible first, amen. We don't ask our kids nowadays, do you need to go dung? Do you have a dungy? No. The modern day, and Paul is actually saying, all the things I've done in my life. Listen, Michael Jordan's 6 championship trophies, in Paul's eyes, were just equal to dung. Tom Brady's 4 Super Bowl championships are just dung. Because it is temporal versus eternal. And I'm not saying it's wrong. We have a lot of things we enjoy. We all have good houses. We have maybe nice cars, nice clothes, and those things are fine. But the problem is, Americans have gotten so obsessed with these things that we've forgotten about the eternal things. And we're not leaving on the field like we should. So number 1, that's the problem. I just give you the stats. I say it to you again so you can really soak on it, meditate on it. We make up 1/3 of the population of this planet, and that includes all Christianity. But we have 50% of the world's income, and we spend 98% of it on ourselves. We just have to have the best houses, the best cars, the best clothes, the best video games, right? We're Americans, right? Well, just because we're American, that doesn't mean we impress God. Somebody say amen right there. So number 1, you got a problem. Now watch this. Number 2. Number two, it's time to get pushed again in America. I like the word push. We need a push, you know. We need a little pushing again. What does that mean? Well, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 8 and 9, he says, here's what I want. I want you to see. Yea, doubtless, though I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, to them that count them but dung. There's that word again. There's that word there. That I may win Christ. Paul says, my goal is to get pushed a little bit so that I may do things that please Jesus Christ today. In America, I have a question for the average American today. Who is your goal in life to please? Why do we live? Why do we exist? What are we trying to please? There's nothing wrong with saying I please my family, I please my wife, I please my husband, that's fine. But listen, we need to get back to a country that pleases God in America again. A country that's not ashamed to say, I believe in God. I trust in God. God is my Savior. God is my God. I'm not ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ. And Paul said, my goal in life is to win Christ. Christ is important to me. His title is important to me. His reputation is important to me. Him more than me. A popular phrase has been going around the country called, I am second. How many of you have heard of that before? I am second. I am second meaning what? I'm second to Him. You know the old popular phrase too, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We need a little bit of that back in America again. We need that in America again. We need to be pushed again. You know what I watched yesterday? I watched a bunch of young 18 to 22-year-old college boys get pushed by coaches who are paid millions of dollars, and they pushed them and pushed them. They pushed them in training, and they pushed them in their work ethic. My daughter went to her first basketball practice last week, and I got in the car, and I picked her up, and I brought her back home, and I said, how was it? She started going on about how tough it was. So I just told her my old football schedule. And all of a sudden, she's like, Daddy, you're crazy. I had a coach that pushed me. When I was hurting, he pushed me. When I was bleeding, he pushed me. You military guys know what it means to be pushed. And can I tell you something? We in America today have gone away from pushing. Hey, can I tell you, as your pastor, I want to push you a little bit. I want to push you here, push you here, push you everywhere. I need to be pushed. So people ask me all the time, are you tired, preacher? Yes. I live tired. But I don't mind being tired for Jesus. Amen. I'll rest forever in heaven someday. I want to leap it on the field. I don't want anything left in this tank when I die. Push. Push a little bit. Number three. Yeah, this is an important one. We need to praise God again. We need to. I tell you what, we're going to get to heaven someday, and we're not even going to know how to praise God in heaven because we haven't been praising Him on earth. I won't name His name. Somebody called me last week and said, preacher, can we just start praising God more in our church? I said, please do. What I say? I said, help yourself. We got too much stiffness in churches today. Somebody help me right there. 2 weeks from tomorrow, I'm flying to the Bahamas. And I wish I could bring some of those folk back here and let them teach the Americans how to worship and praise God. You see, I just don't praise God that way. You will in heaven someday. You will. Listen, it's going to be so loud in heaven, my parents won't be deaf anymore. Somebody say amen right there. It's going to be an amazing place over there. And we need to raise the generation of children and young people that are so full of their mouths, they're so full of praising God, not complaining and realizing the goodness of God and how God has blessed me and blessed my family. He's given me America. He's given me plenty of food to eat. I've got nice clothes. I've got nice houses. God has blessed and blessed. Praise God in America again. Paul spent his life praising God. He wanted to brag on God. He wanted to make sure everybody knew that God was a priority in his life. He wanted to praise God for salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, in the same book right here we just quoted from, he says that his name is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's a promise in the Bible. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. And somebody needs to praise Him. Boy, that's where the car was. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise God again. He just did a car with the church. Yes, I did. Why? Because I want to leap it on the field. I want to leap it on the field. Why are we holding back in America? That's just not my personality. You want a cookie? You want a cookie? If I get home this afternoon, you've heard this before, and I say, son, clean up your room. And he says, Daddy, it's not my personality to clean up my room. We will have preaching at my house. I'll be the preacher and there'll be one in the congregation. What are you saying? I'm saying this. God commands His children to praise Him. Let me stop. Let me give you something new real quick, okay? Hold that thought for a second. Think about this. Should God even have to command us to praise Him? Are you serious? Should God even have to command us to praise Him? The Bible's full of commands. He should not even have to command us to praise Him. Why? Because He's been so good to us. We don't even realize how good He's been to us. And Paul, you're in jail. Paul, you've been beaten. Paul, you've got marks on your back. Paul, you've suffered. Paul, you've been abused. Paul, what is your guilt? Did you kill somebody? Did you rob a bank? No, I'm just preaching Jesus. Then why did they abuse you? Because they don't want to hear about Jesus. But nothing's stopping me. Paul, are you bitter? No, God saved me. I'm not going to touch hell. I'm going to heaven someday. I'm a child of God. He's been so good to me. Praise God, Paul, praise God. It's time to get praising God again in America. I wonder sometimes why Jesus has not come back. Has He not come back because we're not excited about Him coming? Would you want to come back to what you see in America today? The Christians today? This piousity we have? You know the problem with Americans today? We're so worried about what other people think of us. I'm not going to shout amen because what's wrong with it? Who cares? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't give 2 seconds to Brother Sanchez thinks the way I preach today. I don't give 2 seconds to care what my wife thinks. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Him. Why, He's my coach. He's my coach. Grant, by Friday at that football camp, our team, man, it was awesome. There was a unity in 4 days. And we won the Super Bowl. And two or three, one guy, you've heard the story already, from Russia, got saved that week and accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And the boys, some of the staff are contacting me and still saying those boys are talking about it. And they're excited about it. And they're fired up. Because a football team came together for just a few days and the theme was leafing on the field and we won a stupid football game. But really what I was teaching those boys was more than just a dumb football game. It was principles of life. I want to leaf it on the field as a husband. I want to leaf it on the field as a daddy and someday as a grandpa, as a preacher, as a pastor. Why? Because He's been so good to me. I praise His name with my lips and I praise His name by my life. Amen. It's the same thing all of us should do. Number four, and I'm done. Pressed. You say you already talked about pushing. I was a little different now. Pushing is done by somebody else. Pressing is done by me. I need you to push me sometimes. And I want to push you sometimes as your pastor. But the press is my decision. And look what Paul says in Philippians 2, and I'm just about through. Let's look at verse 14 for time. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now hold on a second. I'm going to close with this beautiful illustration. Because nobody has the right to tell us to press more than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Brother Jay just mentioned it's almost November. November is a great month of Thanksgiving. And then December, something happens, right? I think I read that there's nine Sundays left till Christmas. 9 Sundays left till Christmas already. And by the way, Christmas is on a Sunday this year. How many are already ready for Black Friday, right? I can't believe they haven't started yet. I heard it's going to start at about 2018. They're going to start in August. Somebody say amen right there. And we live in a country now that people just, they want to continue to push in a closet and close the door that Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago. The media doesn't want to talk about it. Hollywood uses His name as a swear word. Nobody wants to talk about Jesus Christ. I will. And I know many of you will too. Because I'm not ashamed of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, of the power of God and Jesus Christ. He's given me that promise. I have the gospel because of Him. And why does He have the right to tell me this? Why? Because when He was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago, that wasn't His only mission. He grew up. He became a teacher. He became a preacher. He became a healer. He's the Son of God. He walked on water. He fed the multitudes. But ultimately, when it was all said and done, Jesus Christ had one goal, and that was go to the cross. And He said, I'm going to press and press until I get to that cross. And He suffered through the scourging. And He suffered through the abuse. And He was crucified on that cross. And He was hung on that tree. And He was mocked. And He was spit upon. And He wore the crown of thorns. And He who knew no sin became sin for me. And He shed His blood. And He was beaten beyond recognition. And that Jesus died for me. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And He saved my soul. And I thank God for that. If you can press, I'm going to press too. It's time to press again in America. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then Paul also says, hey, if you can press, I will press. And he was our example. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 these famous words, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm done. I heard a quote the other day that was pretty neat. He said, the problem with many Americans today is they're losing their mind instead of leaving their mind. I don't want to lose my mind. Some of you think I already have. But when I die, I want to leave my mind. So, all right, Grant, come here for a second. Friday, we're done. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Watch this now. Come on up here. What was our motto again? Say it loud like we said in the huddle. Ready? Go ahead.
Leaf it on the field, go black.
See, he was on that team. Leaf it on the field, go black. And he was the youngest boy on the team. Trust me, there were some boys as big as me. The varsity boys were big, fast. Brother George, you saw some, man. There's some big boys. Mark Mitchell saw it, too. All right, leaf it on the field, go black, right? Friday, when you won the Super Bowl, let's see if you remember this. I'm going to put him on the spot. We changed what we said. What did we say?
Left it on the field.
That's right. Left it on the field. Go black. I called him in and said, guys, I want to congratulate you on something. We won the Super Bowl. Today, right now, we're going to say left. Left it on the field. Go black. Now watch this. Thanks, buddy. Go pick it with those leaves and bring them out. All through history, I'll try to do this one-handed. All through history, God has given us Christians who came up for a season. There was Paul's time. Paul was lively. He was green. He was energetic. The whole world heard the gospel when Paul was alive. He preached without social media, without microphones, without church buildings. He preached to the world. But Paul's gone. And then, boy, the early church and people kept passing on our faith down through the generations, all through history. And now 2,000 years later, we're still in church today because of that. They come and they go. They come and they go. And they come and they go. And they come and they go. This is our time now. This is us. But someday, I'll preach my last sermon. I'll kiss my wife for the last time. I'll hug my kids and hopefully my grandkids, maybe even my great-grandkids, if he lets me live that long. And finally, this is what's going to happen. When my life hits the ground, I want to be able to say what Charles Spurgeon said. Right before he died, he said, Lord, my goal in life is to be able to look to heaven and say, Jesus, I love you. And hear Jesus say, I know, Charles. I know. The greatest people that ever lived on this planet, whether it was secular or Christian, were people that just left it on the field. They died on E. So many Christians today, the tank full, empty, you only have. You die with so many regrets. I heard another quote and I'm done. It's better to die with remembrances, not regrets. I encourage you, church, today to challenge yourselves a little bit. To recognize the problem. To get pushed a little bit. To start praising God some more. And to make a decision to just press. I'm the always optimistic preacher, but let's be honest. Things aren't looking that great for Christians in the future. But I've made up my mind. I'm pressing. Until I fall from that tree. Until these leaves fall for the last time and that branch breaks, I'm pressing. God is good. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thanks for listening so well. Thank you.
I'm done.